That music means Eric Meehan is in studio, and it's time for another edition of Message in the Bottle, which is, of course, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, located at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor between Massimo's and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Crossroads Beverage Company is located in 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric, welcome back into this program.
Thanks very much. Awesome to be here, as usual. And I just realized we're going to have to make a slight change to that intro because we are going to now be between the Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead. So an exciting new addition to Bangor downtown. And, of course, Massimo moving just right up the street. So all the love is happening.
Making a note right now, actually.
I need to lose weight. This is not going to help. A new steakhouse is not going to help me.
When I heard that was the new addition coming into Bangor, I'm like, this is not good for me either. Though I've been able to keep the pounds off, I'm sure it's not going to last very long.
Yeah. I've been fat since I was like eight, so I'm just in the game.
I was really, really excited until I had to put on some tuxedo pants the other week. And boy, I remember them fitting a year ago, and this almost looked like a scene out of some sort of sitcom. It was like, hey, I must have inadvertently traded tuxedo pants with somebody when I had them off at that awkward moment. Who knows? Anyway, we're not here to talk about my tuxedo pants. We're here to talk about wine.
Well, before we do that, I must comment on that tremendous-looking shirt, which almost matches the wine that we're going to enjoy a little bit later on.
This is absolutely one of my favorite shirts. I'm the son of a haberdasher, and when I got to Bangor, I was very, very excited to find a wonderful little shop that unfortunately has now closed up. The owner's retired, but it was really nice to find a mom-and-pop place in Bangor where I could buy such finery, and then I proceeded to get wine all over it. You'd probably be surprised to hear that, and oil while I was cooking. And so I found the same shirt there, and now they're gone, so I can't screw this shirt up.
Don't mess this one up today.
I'm really terrified, because after this, of course, I am doing that special dinner that I heard you mention earlier on the program. We're doing the Vine Street PTO Wine 101 dinner here at Seasons at 6 o'clock. So, yeah, I figured I'd dress up. I brought my sport coat and everything. So
look at you.
I'm good. We are ready. You always got to look official.
Absolutely.
So so it's a new month. We had our leap February, and now we're landing in March. And so we're going to talk about a new message in the bottle this entire month. We're going to talk about closures, wine closures. It's something that when I was a kid, one of my favorite sitcoms was Night Court. And whose wasn't, you know? I mean,
amen, sir.
Right.
And of course, Dan Larroquette playing the sleazy lawyer. At one point, there was one joke where he ordered this really cheap bottle of wine, and the guy says, "Shall I unscrew it for you, sir?" And that was a joke, and now it isn't, and for very good reasons. So we're going to talk all about that. So each Tuesday of this five Tuesday month, as it happens, we're going to talk about a different method of wine closure and the benefits to it, the losses due to it, and what that all means for your drinking experience, and hopefully get people really get their heads around the fact that we are no longer in an era of cork means quality and other things don't. There's a lot of solid reasons for any given usage. So today we have a cork closed wine. So we're starting off uber traditional, the wine we're drinking tonight, so that everybody can taste along with us at some point. And we will be tasting these at our monthly tastings. This is the Antinori Estates Santa Cristina Tuscan Red. So Antinori is a powerhouse name in Tuscan winemaking. And this is their entry-level Tuscan red, if you will, mostly the grape Sangiovese and a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot. Super, super enjoyable wine, and it is closed with cork. It is a traditional cork closure. There are two types of cork. There's, cork that was just pulled out of cork bark that we'll talk, how it comes. And then there's what we call agglomerated cork, which is when you see a cork that looks like it's been kind of through a mill and then glued back together. And that is what this particular wine uses. So cork. Cork has actually only been used in stopping up wine since roughly the mid-1600s. And even then, it took a little while. Prior to that, one of the more popular methods was like soaking a rag in oil and stopping it up that way. But cork started to get used more and more widely. And of course, it sort of became because of its elasticity and also because of its relative impermeability to water and liquids, it stopped up things very nicely. The problem has become twofold. Cork is not inexpensive. It is relatively sustainable, but it is the more and more, you know, wines that were demanding it. There was a run on good cork for a while because of cork basically comes from an oak tree. It is found primarily in Southwest Europe, mostly in Portugal, and then Northwest Africa. And so there's one time per year that these workers using these very long, sharp blades on the end of sticks can basically peel away this cork bark. And every 9 years they do this. The cork tree doesn't even start producing usable bark until about 25 years of age.
Wow.
But then the tree will live for 300 years. So it's a very sustainable thing if you can get it going. Then they harvest it, and then there's, you know, obviously better bark and worse bark. There's bark with more fissures and things like that. We'll talk about why that's important in a moment. So there's different qualities, right? And therefore different costs. The thing about cork, the big thing about cork, the thing that caused most people to stop using it, besides the fact that it's just so fun to say.
It is fun. I was enjoying it over here.
I know. There's a thing called corkage, or you're going to like this, cork taint.
Wow.
Which is undesirable. It comes from a thing called TCA, trichloroanisole, which is found in, depending on who you listen to, between 0.5% and up to 7% of all cork that's out there in bottles. And when your wine touches it, it instantly spreads through all the wine, and it makes your wine smell and taste like the bilge of a boat or something, I like to say like a library that's been underwater for 9 years and then suddenly drained. It is very unpleasant. It'll make some people are more perceptive of it than others, it will ruin your wine and take all the nice smells out of it. So what's the deal with why people would stop using that? The only real reason to use cork is to allow that slow transfer of oxygen in and out over the years and, quote, age your wine, right? But most wine, 97% of all wine, for lack of a better, you know, I'm picking a number out of the air, is made to drink tonight. Maybe not tonight, maybe next week, maybe 6 months from now, but not necessarily 10, 20, 50 years from now. So you're a producer, you have a really, really nice wine, and you don't want to risk that happening. You don't think your cork supply is very good. Maybe you think you're disreputable guys. So maybe you consider putting your everyday drinking wine in a screw cap or a fake a cork. And we'll talk about those in the coming weeks. And that's what's starting to happen. So why is this wine, which is a fairly inexpensive wine, it's a $15.99 on the shelf, great deal. Why is this using cork? Well, Antinori, being the powerhouse that they are, they have access and long-term contracts with some of the better producers. Therefore, they feel like they can put their wine in a very traditional closure and not risk the upper ends of that, you know, 7% being, as we call it, corked.
So they end up with that better grade?
So they end up with a better grade, yeah. And it's, you know, it's, if a wine is corked, I will just say this to everybody in Radio Land, stop up the bottle. Don't drink the rest of it. Bring it back to your wine merchant. If they're a reputable wine merchant, they'll take it back, give you your credit, or give you another bottle, because they themselves can get credit up the line, because this is sort of an industry-wide understood thing. So don't feel like you've been deprived of a good bottle of wine. Simply, perhaps that night you might be, but you're not out the cost of that bottle necessarily. Bring it back. It's a very common thing. But it's one of those things, especially if I know the customer particularly well or something, I'll say, take two, and we can return the other one just in case, but this is your anniversary or whatever. It's a perfectly natural thing. So folks out there, if you do have something that kind of smells funky, like a bilge or like, you know, wet paper or something, stop it up, bring it back. It's not you. It probably is the wine, and it does happen. So it's not the end of the world. But hopefully it's not the end of your drinking. You have some beer in the fridge or something like that. That is in essence the cork thing. We should try the wine and let everybody out there know what they think. So this is, again, Santa Cristina Tuscan Rosso, done up with traditional cork stoppage. And Fortunately, this one, I checked it before the segment. It is not corked. It is quite lovely. And as I said, this is one of the wines that we'll be doing tonight at the wine dinner that we're having. So that's certainly a relief. And for anybody who didn't get in on this wine dinner, by the way, we are already talking about doing future ones. So do stay tuned for that. And then also please mark your calendars for Wednesday, March 16th at Bangor Wine and Cheese, and Friday, March 18th at Crossroads Beverage for our monthly Message in the Bottle tastings, where we will be tasting this very wine and all the other wines that we'll be trying on this segment.
This is delicious.
This is great. And what's that subtle taste compared to what we've had before? There's just something about it when I put it near the front of my mouth. It just tastes different.
That's power. No.
Yes, it is. You're right.
It is.
Yeah. First answer, best answer.
Yeah. It just seems to be something good. A little different from previous reds we've had.
Well, honestly, I think that's the Sangiovese. Mm. It's very tart cherry, really just very, in its best incarnations, it's very, you know, bright and pleasant. At least that's what I get kind of up front. And then there's a little tobacco and certainly a nice, you know, a little bit of tannic grip, which is great because, like, for instance, tonight we're going to be pairing it with some dry-aged sirloin, so it's really wonderful for, you know, nice, lightly seared red meat, things like that. Pretty killer.
Oh, that's perfect. Love this one. This is great. Yeah. Very nice stuff.
How much did you say a bottle of this was? $15.99 on the rack?
$15.99, yeah.
Wow.
And I mean, these are guys who, you know, their top-end wines are, you know, we have one right now for $120. Their Tignanello, which is, you know, world-famous, you know, uber high points, blah, 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 every year. Fabulous wine, but really not to drink tonight. Something definitely that you want to put age on, but this, and then they have one that runs around $27. That's a little more refined and gorgeous, but both of those, man, they're killer wines. That's what comes with, you know, frankly, sometimes money speaks, and some of these better estates are owned by very wealthy families that have put the right money in the right people and the right equipment, and these guys are famous for it.
Very good stuff. And if you want to relive this this whole segment, you can do so on downtownwithrichkimble.com. Should be up later on this evening. And also, Eric posts all the stuff on all these segments on his newsletter as well, and how can people sign up for that?
It's actually not the newsletter. You can it's on our websites,
right.
And then you can, of course, sign up for our newsletter on said websites. We do a newsletter, you know, features and exciting new wines and stuff like that. So lots of cool ways to keep up.
And it's meandfamilybeverage.com.
Meandfamilybeverage.com will get you there. Crossroadsbeverage.com will get you there. BangorWine.com will get you there. You all land on one page, and then you get to select which of our various little enterprises you want to visit.
Well, this is tremendous. And I was going to say this is slowly becoming our favorite segment, but it wasn't slow.
Yeah.
It was fastly becoming our favorite segment of the week. Thanks again for...
It's fun to bring a little twist to downtown, can I say?
I was going to say thanks for bringing in the wine, but it's more about your personality and just your ambiance first and foremost. But the wine helps.
Hey, it always helps. Everybody loves the wine guy.
I really like learning about something new and having it be alcoholic at the same time. It's pretty nice.
I like being able to sit down here with guys who know sports a lot better than me and actually think, like, all right, I might have an edge on them in this one segment.
Oh, yeah, you totally win.
All right.
You win. But if you didn't win your own segment, something would be wrong.
True. Very true.
Well, Eric, enjoy the wine dinner tonight.
I will, yes.
It'd be great. And if you miss out on the one tonight, definitely go and check out the next
one. We'll do more, for sure.
And this, of course, Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, located at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, between the new Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant, and also Crossroads Beverage Company, located at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Dennis Price on the other side, or Good, Bad, and Ugly, and much more. This is Downtown for this Tuesday afternoon here on the Pulse, AM 620 WZON.